You might like to open your Bible, if you would, to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. Perhaps we could look to the Lord in prayer. And our God and Father, thank you. Thank you very much. Take thy word and drive it home to our head and our heart. God, you said it. You must give us understanding if we would receive it. God, thank you. In Christ's name, amen. In our journey, we have shared together in this particular period of history, a very special period of history. And as we have gone down the corridor of time, we have taken God's word and God's example of a man, David, who had a heart for God. God emphasizes that. He uses David after he'll say it about the other kings. They didn't have a heart like David. All the other kings line up, more or less, but they didn't have a heart like David. And David walked with God. And so therefore, here in Valley of Darkness, Shadow of Death, picking up if I can in verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why not? For thou art with me. Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And we share together, David's in that understanding, has the understanding, even though he's in King of Israel, surrounded by darkness, he's surrounded by evil. It doesn't go away. The darkness doesn't become light. The darkness stays dark all the way to where we are in this point in history. Evil doesn't go away. It stays the same and gets worse as we go down the corridor of time. So here we are looking, and David is saying these wonderful things. And he makes the statement, as you notice, in verse 4. The reason he's proceeding is because God is with him. God is with him. So my then question is, what does it mean to have God with you? What does it mean to have God with you in your journey in the valley of darkness, pitch blackness, and evil? Therefore, we share together, among other things, we share together his rod, his government, his management, his rule. We share together his staff, his support, his be able to refresh the heart and protect in every way. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort, they make me breathe, they help me to relax, so that I don't have to get up tight, stressed out, which makes for distress, stretched out, distressed. Now it makes for that. And then we share together in the process, all of those wonderful things. And then we share together, God, that's what you're going to do. You're going to be your rule, your staff, you're there. And verse 5, thou preparest a table before me. A table, going down the corridor of time, he's walking. And it's the tables in the presence of his enemies, so they're all able to look and observe David's journey and God's wonderful care. Now, God, as you care, and you did, you put a table, and we shared all those things together, table of showbread, and God puts the bread on the table, as it were. And the table belongs to God, and the bread belongs to God. And the Lord Jesus said, let me tell you where the bread comes from. It comes from my Father. I and my Father are one. I am the bread of life. So what you have, David, is my wonderful presence. So when you say, David, thou art with me, and then, you fill in the pieces, so what does it mean to have God with us? It means thy rod and thy staff, thy table, prepared the bread to feed the feed, to feed the heart, God, to be able to sustain, be sustained. And then to add to that, God's wonderful personal care and his table, etc. Now, having said that, in verse 5, in the presence of mine enemies, thou anointest my head with oil. Well, what does that mean? How does that come into play? Well, the word anoint is intensive. Intensive, it means to, whatever it means, hang on. It means to busy oneself, to be very, very eagerly, carefully, painfully, making an effort to do something, to doing it with diligence, with vigor, doing it. Now, so thou anointest, whatever you're doing, my head with oil. So here we are looking at that, the verb to fill up, as it were, to make something plump, to make it fat. Fat is good. To make it fat, plump, pithy, P-I-T-H-Y, pith. The substance in plants, animals, people, the spinal column, marrow, soft, spongy, that which makes it live. I didn't have time to do too much, but just to show you. You remember all the spring and the summer. This is what's left. These are leaves. What's wrong with the leaves? Is anything wrong with the leaves? Should I glue these back onto the tree? Shouldn't I glue them back on? Why? Because they're dead. They lost the marrow, the pith, the substance, the soft substance that gives it life. They lost it. That's why they're like that. It could rain. And in the rain, what is rain? What happens? The moisture comes up from the ground, air, and gets up and cools down, etc. And cools down up there and collects and gets more and more and more of them. What are all those molecules doing? They're getting fat. And what do we call the rain cloud? A fat cloud. A fat cloud. It's loaded. Fat, full is the word anoint. Be full of something. Here's some things. I have a lot of these. You probably have them too. These are just sticks. Sticks from a tree. A bush. But you know what? They don't look very good. And they don't produce anything except to burn them. Why? They lost their sponginess, their marrow. They lost the anointing. They lost it. That's why they're like this. The cloud, the rain cloud, plants, animals. Now you know, I would have found an animal if I could have and showed you it's without life. But anyway, you got that. God, that's what the word means. Anoint, thou anoint my head with oil, with great diligence, great commitment. You're going to do something. That's right. Painfully going to do, and you're going to do something that's going to stay with us. It ain't going to go away. Why isn't it going to go away, God? Because God doesn't go away. Thou art with me. That's the key. God, are you going to disappear? No. Are you going to go away? No. God's with us. What does it mean to have God with us? It means to have a rod, rule, management, a staff, support, refreshment, an anointing oil. God, you're going to do, thou anoint, who does this? God does. The anointing, the wonderful, wonderful anointing that God does to make something fat, to make it full, as it were, to make it, your wonderful thing that you have, We all have them for the most part, spinal column. And you want your spinal column to be anointed, pithy, fat. You want it spongy, marrow. Got the word marrow. And when it loses that, it loses it. And that's why you need to go and get lubricated in the oil machine. Because it loses. Get moist. Gets like the stick. It needs marrow, spinal column. God, you are the anointing. It's your anointing oil that you do, and you do it in a most wonderful way. Now, when we say that and understand that a little bit, then go with me, please, over to pick up the little how to get there. And God's going to busy himself most eagerly making fat and making full, fat full of marrow, full soft, full green, full bush, full flower growing. Over, if you would, Leviticus and chapter 8. And in Leviticus in chapter 8, picking up, if I may, I'm going to go directly in the light of the Aaron, and his sons, and Moses. And in Leviticus in chapter 8, picking up, please, in verse 2. Take Aaron and his sons with him, and the garments, and the anointing oil, and a bullock for a sin offering, and two rams, and a basket of unleavened bread, and gather thou all the congregation together unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Now you're going to do that in a most awesome, wonderful way. Over sliding down, verse 10, to save time. And Moses took the anointing oil, and he anointed the tabernacle. Here's the tent, tabernacle. He anointed the tabernacle and all the vessels, including the table, showbread. What did he do? He did something to everything, the tabernacle and everything in it. He anointed it. He made it fat. He made it full. He made it to be everything that God meant it to be. Hang on. God meant it to be. In verse 10 again. Verse 10. And Moses took the anointing oil and anointed the tabernacle and all that was therein and sanctified them, set them apart, consecrated them. Verse 11. And he sprinkled thereof upon the altar seven times, anointed the altar and all the vessels of both the laver and all his vessels, both the laver and his foot, he sanctified them. Verse 12. And he poured out the anointing oil upon Aaron's head, and he anointed him to sanctify him. It's all about setting apart. The anointing oil sets apart. What's it do? It sets apart for God's fullness, God's fatness. Hang on to that. Now, having said that, over to verse 30. And Moses took the anointing oil and of the blood which was upon the altar and sprinkled it upon Aaron and upon the garments and upon the sons and upon the sons' garments, their clothes with him. And he sanctified Aaron and his garments and his sons and his sons' clothes, garments, with him. Set it all apart. It's the most wonderful thing that God did in a most wonderful way. He sanctified them. He set them apart in a most awesome way. So now, having said that, setting them apart, the anointing oil, go over with me, please, to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew in chapter 16. And in Matthew chapter 16, you are familiar with it, but I want you to pick up a word that you know, but in the light of what we're looking at. Matthew chapter 16, and I'll go to verse 15 for a little context. And the Lord said unto them, his disciples, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar Jonah, son of Jonas, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." So Peter was able to say something because God gave it to him to say. Otherwise, he could have never said this. What did he say? Verse 16, "Thou art the Christ, / the Anointed One, / the Messiah." The Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah, all the same, all the same. He's the Messiah. He's the Anointed One. He's the one that God gave fatness, fullness to in his wonderment. "Who's with you, David?" He is. In all of his fullness and fatness. "What are you doing, David?" He's anointing my head with the fullness and his fullness, fatness. It's God, he's anointing my head down like our Lord's feet were anointed by the woman. Coming down. Hang on. Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, having said that little bit, and you could do it all over the place to see it, and now, to do it a little more for us, over to 1 John. On your way to 1 John, stop in John chapter 16. John chapter 16. And in John chapter 16, he's the Christ, he's the Anointed One. Now, and in our study of John, we were there, just about there, and when the pandemic's over in 2035, we will pick it up, and we'll have to start again with John, because you don't remember the first part of John. So, what can I tell you? That's why the Bible lasts so long. You understand that? That's a long time. John chapter 16, what did you say, Lord, about the Spirit of God? Verse 13, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, but he will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you." And without doing all of the background right around it, this, the Spirit of God's ministry is to be, I'll go do at least that much, over to chapter 14. Chapter 14, if I can, picking up verse 16. "Even the Spirit of truth, I will pray the Father, said the Lord Jesus, and he shall give you another of the same kind, comforter, encourager, that he may be abide with you forever." And the Spirit of God is going to come along and replace our Lord. Verse 18, "The Lord said, I will not leave you comfortless, I will come unto you." So our Lord is going to come when we receive the Lord as our Savior, and we get saved in a wonderful way. God does it all. And when we receive him as our Savior, God, now the benefits of Christ and the cross are now made possible by the Spirit of God. So the Lord, the Father, is the Comforter. God the Son is the Comforter. God the Holy Spirit is the Comforter. So when you come to verse 17, "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it knoweth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." So the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to make possible, for real, for right, the wonderful person of God in Christ, who went, he's the Anointed One, to bring us all the fullness and fatness of God in all of its wonderment, to bring it to us. Now, having done that, over to 1 John. And in 1 John, if I can, chapter 2. Now that John continues his wonderful ministry, he's the last living apostle just before 100 AD. So now, here's 1 John, and picking up, if I can, context understood a little bit. Verse 20, chapter 2, verse 20. But we have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. The word unction and anointing. You have an anointing. The Spirit of God gives. He's the anointee. He makes the anointing. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Christ. He's the anointed one, the Messiah, who brings to us all of the wonderment of God. And the Spirit of God's ministry is to take what Christ did on the cross and make possible for you and for me to enjoy what? A marvelous relationship to God. You'll notice, please, in verse 27. But, there's the word again, the anointing which you have received of him abideth with you, and you need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and he is truth, and is no lie, and even as he hath taught you, you shall abide in him. How are we going to ever abide in the truth? The Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the truth. Well, what part of the truth? I am the truth. I am the bread. I am the truth. Therefore, keeping that in mind, if you would, the Spirit of God's ministry is to bring forth the wonderful anointing that Christ has made. He's the anointed one, Christ. And he's made possible, the Spirit of God's ministry is to make possible all that God has done in and by and through Christ on the cross and his resurrection. He's making that possible for you and for me, for David. Yea, I'm not going to fear evil, for thou art with me. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, if you would, over to Isaiah 55. I could do it another way, but let's try this one. I'll go the Old Testament to the New. And in Isaiah chapter 55, picking up the thought, please. Here we are looking. We're looking now at our words, so you know what we're doing. We're trying to get a handle to understand anointing, the anointed one. The anointed. What does it mean? Thou anointest my head with oil, because God's there. God is doing something. God is something. Hang on. Isaiah chapter 55, his invitation. Wonderful Old Testament invitation to all the world. I'll read verse 1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye and buy and eat and come. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money, without right. Right. God's grace saves us. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. There's your little word, anoint. Fatness. Fullness. God, what's the invitation to humans? To go from being dead leaves, dead sticks, empty clouds, an ear of corn, that never developed. We talk about a full ear of corn. Here we are looking, God, make the soul fat. You want to save us. You want to take us from a state of death, which is like the stick and the leaves, to a state of life, full of life, full of life, plump, plump, full of life, fat, marrow. Wow. Having said that, that's what you want. Now, God, did you try to encourage Israel when Jeremiah, we studied Jeremiah a little bit, and in the process, Nebuchadnezzar is going to level the city, and the people needed to know God was able to save them, but they weren't interested in that at that point. So therefore, God, but you did say such wonderful things to encourage the believing heart that they looked out the window, they turned on the news, and all of it's not very good. Not very good. Not very good. Not very good. The thing I heard about Canada was horrible. You probably heard it. Terrible, terrible, terrible. If they do it in Canada, if they ever did it, they couldn't do it. Oh, yes, they could. Well, now, so here we are looking, dear friends. Now, here's Jeremiah encouraging. God's going to encourage the believers that they aren't going to see good. Nebuchadnezzar's going to level the city. It isn't going to stop. It's going to keep going. But they need to be encouraged. Jeremiah and chapter 31. And in Jeremiah chapter 31, may I pick up, please? Oh, you'll catch it a little bit. I'll go straight to verse 14 at this point. And I will saturate the soul of the priest. What are you going to make them drenched, soaked? We're going to look at that. If I can get through this tonight. But maybe, who knows? God knows. In verse 14, I will satiate the soul, make it soaked, drenched, of the priest with fatness. They're supposed to be serving God, not like dead leaves. They're supposed to be serving God full of life, fatness, full of life, wonderful life. That's what they're to be doing. That's what we're to be doing. That's what we're here for. Out there, who knows? But we come here. God, we're in your presence according to your plan, your word, to practice on the Lord's day. Here we are. We aren't bankrupt. Thou art with us. What's the problem? Hang on. In verse 14. Over, if you would please, saturate the soul. Over to Psalm 63. This all comes together in another way, but just doing it this way for the moment. Psalm 63, I'm sorry. I said Isaiah. And Psalm 63. Picking up, please. Psalm 63 and in verse 5. You'll catch it. My soul, here's David. David, you're going to tell us. David said, he anointeth my head with oil. And then you keep reading about David, and David tells you how it works. Psalm 63, going to verse 5. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow. Marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. Why is that, David? Because thou hast been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. Wow. So, David, he made your soul fat. Yes, he did. What would you mean, fat? I was full of a sense of God, a wonderful relationship to God. But I could trust God. I could look to God. I could count on God. God was my Savior. He created me. He saves me. He keeps me. He loves me. That's what he does. I love him. See? He's fat. Made me fat. Made me full. Anointed me. How so? In Christ Jesus, the anointed one. That's why Christ died. He died to give us life. Whose life? The uncreated life of God. To give us that life in a most wonderful way. So now, marrow fatness, the inwards. Psalm 81. Do it a different way. You'll catch it. All I'm trying to do is get you to understand the benefits. Benefits. Psalm 81. And picking up, if I can, Psalm 81, in verse. I'm going to read one verse because you're familiar with it. Psalm 81, verse 10. You remember that, all those different times. I am the Lord thy God. What are you going to say to Israel? I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Fill it. Fat, fullness, okay? Okay, now I got that part. Sliding over now, what are you going to give us to fill us with? You're going to give us something we don't like? You're going to give us spinach? We don't like spinach. What are you going to give us? If I open my mouth wide. And I don't think, I never have been a little pigeon or something, but I don't think little birds, when they open their mouth wide, I don't think they say, Mom, what have you got? And we'll see if we like it. I don't think they say that. I think they just open. And in goes the lovely whatever. Wow. Verse 16. I should have fed thee. I would have fed them also with the finest of the wheat. The finest of the wheat I would have fed them. I would have fed them with the finest of the wheat, the most finest, the bestest, the best, the best part, the most finest part. I should have fed them also with the finest of wheat and with honey out of the rock, should I have satisfied thee. You would have been full and fat. All you do is open your mouth. I'm not going to give you, and you don't care about all the other. Say, I can't eat that, and I can't. No, you don't care about that. If God feeds you with it, you couldn't be better fed in all of forever. When God gives you the bread of life, there is no replacement of that. Wow. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, and keeping it so the soul is to be satisfied with marrow, with fatness, etc. And we read that while you're here in Psalms, over to Psalm 36 again that you read. So it's fat, full, rich, the finest, the bestest. Psalm 36, and picking up as you read it, going directly if I can in the light of David's, looking at the wicked, the things that are going wrong, no one's fixing anything, no one cares about where it's going or how it's going, or it doesn't have to go straight. It can go crooked because there are no rules. There is no rightness. Think of the 2 Thessalonians, the mystery of lawlessness, mystery of godliness, the mystery of lawlessness, without law, without right. We're law, rules, and order. No. Wow. Now God. But David is encouraged. David's encouraged as we read Psalm 36. Sliding down. They, the children of men, verse 8, the believing hearts, they shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. So, God, the believing heart, Isaiah 55, 2, I want you to believe and receive the Lord as your Savior. And when you do, God will bring you his wonderful anointing, fatness, fullness, that he has provided in the person of Jesus Christ and his house. His house. I want you to be in my house where you sit at my table. In the meantime, till you sit at my table there, I'll put a table before you here and feed you. I'll feed your soul here to sit with me there. That's what I'll do. In my Father's house are many abiding places, etc. Now, verse 8 again. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house. They shall make that thou shalt make them drink of the rivers of thy pleasure. God, wonderful, 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 wonderful. You do that. Now, just to get, so you just see the, if you were a believer, and living in the day of Malachi, you would have all of this that we're reading. And so here we are going over, if you would please, to Psalm, well, you're still here, Psalm 92. And in Psalm 92, wonderful, picking up in thought, Psalm 92, may I go directly in the light of it all to verse 12. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon, giant cedars, wow. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. So God, we're going to be, we just read in Psalm 36, it's a wonderful thing to be in my house to enjoy the fatness. And then God, you're going to say to all the different ways to help us understand, we're going to be in your house like a planted. We're going to be like your garden. We're going to be your garden. Uh-huh. You're my garden. No weeds, no bugs. Nope, you're going to grow up, and you aren't going to be dead leaves. You're going to be full of life. You're going to grow up. And planted in the house of my Lord, verse 13. Shall they flourish in the courts of our God? Boy. So what a relation. We have an awesome relationship to you. Uh-huh, you do. You do. Very personal. Verse 14. They shall bring forth fruit in their old age. They shall be, there's a little word, fat and flourishing. That's what they're going to be in my house. My plants are all fat, full. They never turn like this. They never turn like this. Never. They have life. The power of an endless life. Hebrews 7. Wow. Now, so having said that, and keeping that in mind, and verse 15, to show that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. So God's wonderful, wonderful keeping in a most wonderful way. Now, God, you're going to do all of this. I am. Now, God, help us some more. Okay. Go over to Ephesians, if you would. Back over to Ephesians. You got a little bit. If your Old Testament tells you it's going to be wonderful, God's fatness, fullness, God's blessing. Thou art with me. Thou anointest my head with oil. Over I can, in Ephesians, picking up, please. And you will notice, you know it, I can. And picking it up, hold your finger here. Let me do it just a little different. Go over to Colossians for a minute. Colossians in chapter 1 and verse 19. Just remember, Christ has he's the creator, and he has the preeminence. Verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in him, Christ, should all fullness, if you would, fullness dwell. And then you know, chapter 2, Christ is full of God, full, fat. Chapter 2 of Colossians, verse 9, and in him, in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness, same word, of the Godhead bodily, the wonderful God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, in person of our Lord Jesus Christ. I and my Father are one. In my Father's hand, my hand and his are the same. God, you can't separate God. He's wonderfully three, but wonderfully one, God. Now, chapter 2, verse 9, verse 10. And you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. And the word complete is the same as the word full. Full. So I'll read it that way. And you are full in him. Christ is full of God, and God in you is full. Full. He brings the fullness of God into your heart. That's what he does. He brings the fullness, the fatness of God, the life of God. Back to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, picking up place, verse 22. And hath put all things under his feet, chapter 1, 22. Hath put all things, God the Father has put all things under Christ's feet, and gave him to be the head over all things, to the church. And then the church, the assembled body of believers, which assembled body of believers, is his body. What do you mean? He's the head, we're the body. That's right, unique, awesome relationship. So far, so how much? The fullness of him that filleth all in all. The body is his body of his fullness. And the body enjoys his wonderful fullness of the Anointed One, Christ. And Christ, the Anointed One, enjoys the wonderful, wonderful fullness that God gives to you and to me. Wow. Christ gives us fullness, and we give him fullness. Fullness. The body. There's no toes missing, no fingernails missing. It's a complete, no appendix missing, complete body. That's what God wants, a complete body to show his fullness, his completeness. Now, having said that, back over to Ephesians. And you will notice, please, in Ephesians, and in chapter 4, in chapter 4, if I may, just going directly to verse 4. There is one body, one spirit, even as you are called, one hope of your calling. So it's an awesome body. All I'm trying to do is lock in the body. Chapter 5. The body. If I can, God's going to present the body, verse 27. He's going to present the body to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men, verse 28, to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it. If you hit your thumb, you're very much concerned. It's your thumb. You could hit someone else's thumb and not care. But you hit your thumb, and boy, you care. You care when it hits your thumb. It's your thumb. Oh. Verse 29. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth, even as the Lord, the church, which is his body. For reason, we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. You can't get better than that, God. That's right. You're the anointed. Christ is the anointed one, and he anoints us. He gives us his wonderful person, the wonderful benefits of his fatness, his fullness, his completeness. He gives it to us. Where is it? It's in Christ. Why don't believers enjoy it? What's wrong? It's not God's fault. It's our fault. Because we don't understand. What really, I'm just a wild guess. I don't think many people really understand that say they're saved, that understand being saved. I don't think so. Obviously, something's terribly wrong because it's hard to find it, isn't it? To understand why you're saved and what it means to be saved, safe, anointed. Wow. So God, here we are looking, have a unique relationship to you, an awesome relationship to you. Over, if I can, please, to chapter 1. Now, God, what are you going to do? God, you're going to go in your wonderful way. And how did you even start out in Ephesians when you were talking to us? Remember, Paul's in prison when he's writing this, so don't think he's having a picnic. Chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with A-L-L, all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, God, that's what you did. So, God, you anointed our head in fullness and fatness. Are we going to have enough rain for the plant? Is there going to be enough nutrients for the plant? Are the bugs going to get the plant? No. Nope. They're all there, but never going to happen. Nope. You're my plant in my house, in my heart. You're planted in me, in my son. God the Father, Father, when you look for us, where are we? You see us in your son. That's where I see you. That's where I find you, in my son. In my son. Now, so here we are. God's going to deal, anoints our head with oil. And our heart is fat and full. All around us, it's fat and full. We didn't time to read it, but if we did, David's wagon goes down the road, and God said, listen, as the believing heart goes down the road, it's so full of benefit, it's overloaded, it drops fat. So you can always know where the believer's been, because the fat is on the ground. Follow the fat. Follow the blessing. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. So, having said that and keeping that in mind, so God, you're going to fill our needs with heaven's store, and you're going to do so, and our needs galore are going to be met, no matter what they are. How are they going to be met? In your wisdom and will. God, is there enough? Oh, there's enough. Is there enough? You're going to anoint us with benefits and blessings. We're going to honor. We're going to be able to honor the honored one. We're going to be able to enjoy the healthy one. We're going to be able to enjoy the holy one. We're going to be able to enjoy the happy one. That's God. That's what we're going to do, because we're fat. Fat. It isn't because of us. There's nothing, if you want to find something to enjoy, turn on the television, go down to the grocery store, see if you can find something. No. Look to God. And God is consistently, wonderfully who he is. And I need to, you need to, we need to enjoy God. Got to pay attention. Because the fatness and the fullness and the rod and the staff and all of that is centered in God. God's just telling you how he takes care of us, using different things to help us understand how it works, so that we do that. So as we go down the corridor of time, God, you're going to go, and we're going to go, and the heart is going to be blessed. We're going to be anointed by the anointed one. That's what we are. I'll anoint. Thou anointest our head with oil. Wow. Overflowing. Uh-huh. That's what we're going to do. That's what we're going to do. But it isn't us. You look in the mirror. Look at work, at home, at school, running around. You won't see it. Never see it. Never. Look to God. God said, you better listen and understand. I'm trying to tell you the benefits that you're having right now that you're oblivious to. You don't even understand them. But they're there. They aren't going to go away. They aren't going to disappear. God, they're going to stay right where you are. And you're going to do and be who you are in and for and about us. So God, we got to pay attention. So when we get depressed, depleted, and all the other disappointed, and all the other words, and then there's God, and in quietness and confidence, we're going to come, and God will be our strength. Part of it, resting and returning, resting, returning and rest. You'll be saved, safe. God, thank you. Thank you. Thou anointest my head with oil. God, thank you. Our Father, deal with our head and our heart. Help us a little bit to begin to grasp the awesome wonderment of it all that is very hard to find on planet Earth. Very hard, God. That which is so simple and wonderful. The tree, the plant, the cloud in the sky. You just do it like nothing. God, and we're more important than leaves, trees, and little sparrows. Thanks a lot. Help us. In Christ's name, amen.